I'm Asmodeus, from the Strange and Unusual podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper, the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor, SP, and your others reporters for this special episode number 165 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
First, I'm going to vomit. And second, let's do this.
You never actually really vomited, so... And I wonder who cleaned up the mess hall.
It was off camera. I don't know. Robots, minions, you could be bored.
I've never seen a robot aboard the Wave Runner.
They've been off screen for budgetary purposes.
Okay. And Michelle!
Really? Now's the time for a bad guy monologue?
Kind of figured... Bad guys just monologue, so it's always time for a bad guy monologue. Always.
So I guess it's bad guy 101. Have a monologue, want to take over the world, and hire henchmen.
You know, for what it's worth, I did think it was a very good monologue.
Well, of course it is. It's Neil Madonna.
That's fair.
Hey guys, this podcast is recorded on Sunday, August 20th, 2017, and broadcast live from the Starling Tribune headquarters studios via www.geeks.live. Remember, our newspaper is full of spoilers, facts, and speculations about the CW TV show Arrow and the rest of the DC TV movie and comic universe.
And tonight, we'll be discussing Legends of Tomorrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could and very well may impact future episodes of shows such as Arrow, as well as The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Vixen, Constantine, Black Lightning, Justice League, Teen Titans Go, Batman and Superman Adventures, and maybe even other stuff I'm not thinking of. So you're warned.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. If you like our content, why don't you swing by our podcast network home at GunnaGeek.com, where we can find all of our past shows, plus a ton of other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles, all under the Gunna Geek Productions banner.
Woohoo! The beginning script is done, and it's time to get into the current episode. Well, current, the one we watched this weekend. Michelle, break it down for us.
Sure, this episode is called Doomworld. It's Season 2, Episode 16. It originally aired Tuesday, March 28, 2017. Director, Marzi Almas. Credits include 2 Legends, 1 Arrow, 4 of the 100, 1 Dark Matter, and 1 12 Monkeys. Writers, Ray Utarnichet. Credits include 7 Legends, 1 Flash, 4 of the Tomorrow People, and 2 of Person of Interest. And Sarah Hernandez. This is the first Legends she's written, and she was the script coordinator on 33 episodes of Legends.
Damn.
Wow. So we got some power behind this, which is understandable because it's a pinnacle episode of the season 2 of Legends of Tomorrow. So this was aired, when was it? The 28th of March, which was close to the end of the seasons for all the CW DC TV shows. Supergirl on Monday, the 27th of March, aired their episode Distant Sun. It was the 17th episode of the season for Supergirl to a live audience of 2.21 million. The live plus DVR ratings was 3.49, which I think is really good for the CW. So yay, Supergirl for pulling that off. Flash on Tuesday, the 28th of March, with their 18th episode of the season 3, aired the episode Abracadabra to a live audience of 2.39 and a live plus DVR of 4.06. So breaking that 4 mark, yay, Flash. Over Wednesday on the 29th of March, Arrow aired the 18th episode of their 5th season to a live rating of 1.55. The Live Plus DVR rating was somewhere around 2.7. Reporting was getting a little spotty at this point in time, but Michelle did a great job of trying to bring that out. And by the way, that is for the episode Disbanded. On Tuesday, the 28th, following Flash, Legends of Tomorrow aired this episode, the 16th episode of season two, to a live audience of 1.59. I think it should, like Arrow in a couple of their episodes, I think this should have gotten a lot more than it did. The Live Plus DVR was only 2.6. Guys, Legends of Tomorrow is a fun show. You need to go out and watch it. So get on your CW app and watch it. This episode, of course, named Doom World.
I really think, and I know we've touched on this, that the app in watching not through Nielsen ratings capabilities is going to be the big reason why they've renewed this show and why they see such faith in it. It must have a bunch of people that watch it after the fact on either the app or buying through iTunes or Amazon or something like that, because people are talking about it. There's buzz and they're just not watching it conventionally.
And Netflix.
Yeah, after the fact, Netflix, that's a big point too. Because I know, I even work with some folks who are like, yeah, I don't watch them until they're all on Netflix at the end of the season, then I binge them. I'm like, but then you have to wait another 11 months for more. How do you do it?
Yeah, and more people are cutting the cord and doing that, which I actually can't blame them because my cable bill is just absolutely outrageous. But it wasn't recently until such services as PlayStation View and YouTube TV came on. And I'm kind of wondering if, because of that, if the CW app will still continue or not. An interesting fact on that, my son was interested in getting caught up with all the DC shows for the coming year, as well as possibly joining a podcast about the shows. And he's like, man, but I don't have cable. What do I watch? I'm like, well, duh, the CW app. And he's like, oh yeah, you're right. I could use that. So I think more and more people are going to get into the CW app.
I think so. And it's a good way to watch it. And it works for everyone. Evidently, they're making good advertising dollars out of it.
All right, let's get back to Doom World. Every episode, we take the title, we create a theme around it, because it should be the theme of the episode, right? And then we say what we think the theme is. So, Michelle, why don't you break down the theme of Doomworld to us?
Well, Nate decided to call the bad guys the Legion of Doom. The Legion of Doom got the spear, they chanted, and abracadabra, they got a world that they wanted, so Doom World?
No. Dr. Doom actually came and took over. This is the crossover with the Marvel 616 universe coming out of Secret War. Dr. Doom, with all of his godly powers, just came in and said, this is mine too. And he's just sitting behind the scenes pulling the strings. That's what I say.
So did Fox sell the rights to Doom over to DC just to keep it out of the rights of Marvel?
This is Dr. Doom with three O's. The third is silent.
You see, Dr. Doom. Doom. I see. All right, Chris, you're our resident black belt. So we had quite a few fights this episode. Why don't you start breaking them down to us? Because we know that you are the expert in fighting and you need to blow by blow, do a play by play of these fights.
I got distracted by all the leather in the first fight scene.
Nice, ladies.
I say that only half jokingly, but the show opens with Vixen and Sarah chasing down a masked hero, and we're not quite sure who it is, and there's a pretty cool fight, there's some cool tech that's used, then it's revealed it's Felicity, and they straight up snap her neck, and I go, oh, that's intense, and I go, oh, there's some Arrow fans that are real happy about this right now.
I think all fans were really happy about it right now, right, Michelle?
No, not all fans. You have to understand. There is Alicity fans, and there are, if you say Alicity one more time, I will pull my eyeballs out. This was neat to see her in an outfit. That was kind of cool. And then after the fight, you see Damian Dark. It's like, ooh, another mask for my collection. And it's like all these heroes that he's killed over in the past year, and it's like the Flash is among them. It's like, wow.
The Flash, another Black Canary.
Yeah. There was a lot. There was the Vigilante mask, and we have dissected this before when it came out that one week. We actually went into all the masks that were on there, because I wasn't sure what that small mask was. It turns out it was a Green Arrow, the top right, the small little strip. Yeah, that was Green Arrow. Go figure. His little mask. Oh, yeah. Well, bye-bye, Felicity. I'm sure a lot of people were actually happy and sad about that.
Well, it didn't take.
Yeah, I know. I didn't hear any backlash to that, though. I don't remember this big uprising in Twitter from the Felicity fans.
Well, that's because this is Legends.
Yeah. I don't know if there actually was one. I mean, this is, let's steal a comic book term right now. It's an Elseworlds tale right now, because we've gone into pretty much an alternate universe that we all know they're going to correct 90% of it at some point in time to continue the show going forward. So it's Elseworld. People will put up with some crazy stuff happening if they know it's not really going to stick when it's all said and done.
Talking about something that doesn't stick, I don't think Ray's occupation of being a janitor really stuck with him, but that's neither here nor there right now. Let's talk about the fight at Ray's loft. Chris, you're the black belt. You tell us about it.
I don't know how I got the black belt, but we'll just go with it. Yeah, so Sarah and Amaya, round two. And again, Chris gets distracted because lots of leather and very distracting. But yeah, they come in and they pretty much just wreak havoc. And they're taking out the Legends until Ray's magic memory restoring laser gun thingy gets used to restore Sarah's memories. And she becomes part of the team once again and stops beating everyone's ass.
Well, actually, she decks Mick.
Well, everyone decks Mick. I mean, because everyone gets their memories back and realizes, he did this to us. Punch. And it's a great moment. It became a recurring gag that didn't get old.
No, matter of fact, I think a couple more people deserve to punch him in the meantime. I did have an issue with this, though. Ray, in his apartment, Sarah, her knife throwing skills were a little bit subpar. And I was wondering if that was because of what was done to her, bringing her over to this reality, or is she just getting a little rusty with the knife throwing?
I would have to say it's what they did to her, because if you notice, they're kind of, she's kind of like a bimbo, because like they're called the Bimbo Brigade at one point, because she is kind of like, hey, and such. So, because Dark wanted to control them. And so, of course, he's probably like took her down a couple of levels in order to make that happen.
So I think part of what comes into play here is, remember, the Sarah we know from our world, she's a member of the League of Assassins. She's been trained forever. She's died multiple times. Everything here has been rewritten. It's not necessarily true that the Sarah from this world has been a member of the League of Assassins. She could very well, until she gets her memory restored, be not as skilled as she once was.
That would not be cool, because she needs to be skilled.
Well, I mean, he rewrote reality. I assume they would rewrite her to have a lot of her skills. Maybe, or maybe it was on purpose. He didn't want her in her state there to be as skilled as before, because if she turns on him, it makes it easier to control her or to beat her if he needs to.
I get that, Chris. Let me just qualify what you're saying, or at least understand what you're saying. So you're saying in this Doom world, not necessarily when she goes back to the regular world.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I can do that. All right. So we have the fight there and we get Sarah back, but then there's another big team fight at Star Labs. It was so awesome because we saw every single individual fight happening at the same time, didn't we, Chris?
We did. And this fight, there's all sorts of stuff going on. There's some great character moments where Mick kind of reasserts himself, but it's so heartbreaking in the end. So heartbreaking.
I was saying what I did in jest a little bit, because they did clear the decks for individual fights. So you had Sarah and you had Malcolm, you had Damien, and you had groups of fights that were off to the side after the big team up. So they didn't have the continual fight going on the entire time.
I love the Damien Jefferson moment where then they get the spear. Jefferson knocks Eobard backwards and turns around. And he's about to high five Damien. Like, oh, no, that's weird. That was an awesome moment. I don't know why. It just made me smile and chuckle a little bit.
I think Damien was playing Jefferson to get the spear back at that point in time. He's like, how can I distract him? Okay, high five. He's like, okay, let me take the spear.
That could be. Or maybe she's caught up in it. Who knows? This is a weird Damien Dark, because remember, he's got his powers back. Maybe they make him slightly loopy. I don't know. He didn't use his powers a lot, though, which also weirded me out. This big fight, he should have been wrecking people with his powers. Like, oh, you shot out, whoomp, and throw him across a room.
Yeah, that's a good point, because he only used it when Sarah blew her cover.
which was still a cool moment, that little Darth Vader-esque moment where he's holding her up. I'm like, choke her, be like Vader, be Vader.
And then he monologues, and then the whole thing. Well, we'll get to that in a second.
No one monologues quite like Neil McDonough. That's all I'm going to say.
There's some awesome monologues from him, yeah. And as an actor, Neil McDonough, I love him. Just, we've talked about before, kind of tired of the character, and I can't believe he's actually coming back. But that's neither here nor there. Michelle, you are our resident time travel expert. So there was some time travel that was both stated and alluded to in this show.
Yeah, so like Chris said, this is like an Elseworld alternate reality because that's what the Spear does. They rewrote reality in their image. And this actually takes place over a year, and we know this because Rip is trapped in the Wave Rider and he's been baking for a year. So that's how we know it's been a year. So now it's 2017. Action takes place in Star City and in Central City. In Star City, Dark is the mayor. Sarah and Amaya work for him. There's his thugs, his Bimbo Brigade. And he's collected all these trophies from killing all these heroes because that's what he likes to do. That's how he spends his time as mayor. And then in Central City, we have Thawne in charge of Star Labs. What's interesting is that in this reality, he's captured the Black Flash. So they couldn't rewrite him out, but they were able to like contain him in this room. So that's interesting. And what gets me in this reality, Thawne has basically saved the world, invented cold fusion, turned ocean water into fresh drinking water, has accepted multiple awards, can tell the president that he'll call them back. And it's interesting just how much of a hero he's made himself. And of course, in this world, the legends don't have their powers. Yeah. That's how, you know, this reality has been shifted.
It's a fun little Elseworld tale like that. Like I said, I've said before in other shows, Elseworld tales like this are my favorite because there's some bat-ass crazy stuff that happens.
There's a lot of crazy stuff that's been happening, including, we're just going to jump to it because there's been some talk about it in the chat room. The Tiny Wave Rider and Captain Rip Hunter. I would even venture to say the Confectioner Rip Hunter. Captain Confectioner Rip Hunter. That's what I'm going to call him from now on. Captain Confectioner.
I was going with Confectionary King, but I like that too.
Yeah, I want him to, after this is done, I want him to take his skills and go on to the Great British Baking Show and, you know, see if Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood like his cakes.
I hope they give him a web series, like when it starts back up, just as kind of a funny thing on the CW. It's like Baking with Captain Rip or something like that.
Nice. Now, he did have a little bit of Captain Jack Sparrow moment because, well, he had the bottle of rum and the rum was all gone. So where did the rum go? That was a Captain Jack Sparrow moment right there.
That's true.
The rum went in his belly?
Where's all the rum?
Oh.
Gideon, you have to make some more. And Gideon had her sass on. It's like, you know, I've been putting up with this crap for a year. And while you have done your baking, I've been like in the background, like redoing algorithms to reroute power. And since I have these algorithms done, you better get off your butt and do as I say.
Yeah, get buck up, Captain. Chin up. You get your back straight. Stand up and get to it. And yeah, Amy Pemberton is awesome. She's taking care of the whole thing. I mean, she's just letting him play. She knows that he is having a hard time of things and that he is isolated in the Wave Runner. She's probably just happy to have some friends while she's trying to deal with stuff. And then in the end, she's like, okay, time to be captain again. Let's go. Come on. You can do this.
It fits in with her, though. She's there to give Captain Rip the kick in the pants sometimes when he's pretty much lost perspective and lost his way. And she's had to do it a few times this season, even when she was only possibly an illusion in his mind. Sort of real. We never really figured out how that worked. But hey, that's what she's here for.
Yeah, it'll be interesting next season because he won't be on the Wave Rider, it seems like. So be interesting to see how Gideon grows from not being around him all the time.
I wonder what the shippers are going to do in the fan fiction community.
I wonder where her true loyalties are going to lie, because she might identify more with him than the legends.
Well, no, later in the season, like when Rip was put in the lockup, you know, she does have loyalty to Sarah and the team. She cares for them. And, you know, the only reason why she listened to Rip is because he knew that secret code. But no, Gideon's not petty. How dare you think Gideon's petty?
I didn't say Gideon was going to be petty. I was wondering where her loyalties were going to lie.
With her crew.
Well, Captain Hunter was her crew for years.
But then if he leaves, he is no longer the captain, and she's going to have to deal, and I think she's still going to be on the team's side.
Gideon has a relationship with Captain Hunter. She doesn't have a relationship, like a romantic relationship with Sarah. Not yet.
Okay, look. I have faith that Gideon will just be sad for a little bit, eat some digital ice cream, watch The Notebook, and then follow her own advice, chin up, and move on.
Well, my more concern was not necessarily feelings or things like that, but how did the Time Masters constrain the ship AIs? Were they permanently loyal to their captains as assigned by the Time Masters, or not? Is there some kind of limit there that forces her to have to obey Captain Rip? I don't know. My assumption is probably not, but we did see him basically force her to do stuff when he was brainwashed and evil.
Yeah, we'll have to see how this all works out. In the meantime, it was just fun seeing him bake cakes. Confectioner.
And get his fondant bows just perfectly well done.
And then he just dumps it onto the floor. Come on. Ugh.
He's going a little crazy. He's had a rough go of it this season. Now he's in isolation by himself going nuts.
But think of the crew, the shooting crew on the set. They deserve that cake.
Well, that's assuming it was actually real cake that they used as a prop there. I mean, a lot of the food you see in commercials, if it's not a commercial for food, is all prop-made food, meaning it's pieced together out of plastic and cements and things like that. So it might not have been real cake.
Are you stating this out of experience of being on a set from a food commercial and trying to eat things?
No, I'm stating it from a 60 Minutes news story I remember watching as a kid. I did not try and eat the fake apples on set of the commercial that I might have may or may not have done when I was a kid.
It's all real now. That's a, you know, with HDTV, you can't fake people out like that anymore. It has to be real food.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
And we never see the mess on the floor.
Somebody had to clean it up.
It's a CGI cake, damn it.
Could have been.
Just like the CGI mustache removal we're going to have in Justice League.
That and better than the CGI Medusa hair over in the Inhumans. Yes, I did just cross the screen.
They fixed it.
Yeah, but the hair still doesn't. I mean, this is a whole discussion for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., but.
Different show.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to the other captain in the show, Captain Sarah Lance. So we talked about the Bimbo Brigade. We talked about how she slugged Mick. How do you think she dealt with the rest of the episode, Michelle?
You know, she came up with plans. She enacted them. She's like, hey, they don't know that I'm real Sarah again. Let me go in and sneak in and get a Maya that way. True, she blows her cover, but she's able to recover and shoot a Maya with the memory gun that she like smuggled in. She has a plan to get to the core and everything like that. My only thing is, I guess I understand why she doesn't trust Mick, but he's realizing that he made a mistake. And I just, like, I don't, that, yeah, I think that's part of the issue with this season. It's like Mick had an arc and it just writing-wise, it wasn't executed really well.
Yeah, I tend to agree. The whole Mick thing, especially her continuing treatment of him between the last episode and this one, just pretty much dismissing him. And like Mick says, if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't be back together. Yes, he made a poor decision. A very poor decision, but you can kind of understand where he's coming from when he makes that decision. And you can kind of understand why he might not feel so strongly about the Legends, because all of a sudden they're dismissing him out of nowhere. Remember, his arc all season had been kind of accepted. They're listening to him, and then all of a sudden it was, no, shut up, Mick. You're stupid. We don't want you to listen to you. So with the return of Snart and things like that, and I really wish she had been like, I'm not sure if we can trust you, but we're going to take a chance on you or something like that, because at this point, you can't afford to discount him.
Yeah, there was a mistake just leaving him there alone, not babysitting him, because I don't think anybody thought he was going to run back to his partner and to the Legion of Doom. But to get back to, he at the beginning of the episode was like, hey, I saved you guys and I should be thanked for that. Well, no, you're the one that caused all this to begin with. And on that battlefield in 1916, if he would have kept the spear away from the Legion of Doom, this never would have happened.
Well, if the Legends would have actually been a team and everything that they've been through, like last season and this season, and he had growth, they should not have treated him the way, you know, calling him Meathead. And
right.
True. I will agree with that. But he is to blame for Doomworld. Yeah, I will say that.
His actions did it, but the Legends' inactions also caused that too.
Okay. All right. So a lot going on there. Let's get back to Captain Lance. We rate her on a scale of 1 to 10 every episode. She wasn't Captain Lance for the entirety of this episode, but dang, she did good in her role, I think, before she got the brain back. So on a scale of 1 to 10, Michelle, how would you rate her in her performance as Captain this episode?
Well, she gets points off for the Mick, but we still have to, even though the writers are messing that up, we still have to judge her on that. They don't achieve their objective, which is to get the spear, as the spear gets destroyed. But she does come up with the plan to basically go back to 1916, which violates everything that they've been told what to do. So I'm at a 5.
Ooh, a 5. Chris, can you beat that 5 for a shocker?
I was going to say about the same thing, because there's not a lot of good planning going into things here. It's a lot of reactionary things and probably not the best decisions. I mean, they've talked about before, the consequences of going back and changing events you've been involved in could be catastrophic. And yes, while this is desperate times, you need to stop and think of plans before just throwing that out as the automatic go-to plan. And again, I disagree with her treatment of Mick. I think that you have to start to give the guy a little bit of a chance. He made a terrible decision. There's no getting around that, but you need to use all the tools you can have. Plan for him to potentially be a problem, but make use of Mick Rory. He's a tool that can be used in this fight against the Legion of Doom.
Okay. So maybe she needs the Wave Rider around her and getting around her to accentuate her captain powers. I don't know, but I'll start with the baseline of 5. I will give her -1 for poor knife throwing skills, but then I will give her another +1.5, another +2 for the awesome leather costume. So I'll give her a 6, but it's a hard earned 6. That's for sure. All that gym time earned her that 6.
Yeah, she puts in the gym time, dude. If you follow her on Instagram, holy crap, the stunt sessions she shares on there, awesome.
Yeah, and I have been ragging on the fight choreography for a long, long time. I think this episode, while it wasn't perfect, really brought that fight choreography up a level. So I did enjoy that. It wasn't perfect. I need to go back to watch that Arrow triple level fight again. Oh my gosh, that was the best thing ever. But it wasn't that, but it was still better than where it was. So keep it up, guys. Keep increasing your fight capabilities, and I will continue to gush over it. But if you continue on slacking, then I will continue to say it's not as good as it once was. All right, so that's Captain Lance. Let's move on to somebody else. We talked about Mick already. Let's talk about Ray. I mean, he is just a poor janitor, and he makes something on reflex. That is pretty cool. Just, you know, just a reflex. Oh, I made this thing to fix everything, and I have no idea what it is. What do you think it is? I mean, that is awesome.
Yeah, it's interesting because you read research about subconscious and what you learn consciously, how that impacts your subconscious and what exactly would be like muscle memory and such. So, you know, it's interesting, this janitor who plays video games based off of the Dominators.
Hey, how cool was that?
Yeah, ends up making this memory gun thingamajiggy. Because I like how Chris was like, you know, science magic thing, you know, because that's Ray.
It is indeed. And he doesn't even have the gumption to pull the trigger himself. But Mick does. He's like, I don't care. Either you die or not. We find out if it works or not. If you lose you're no good to me right now. So bing, There it is. And he finds out it works. So way to go, Ray. Without your suit, you're still of value to the team. Let's move on to Nate, since I just mentioned him. He was the same Nate, basically, as we saw at the beginning of this season of Legends. Hey, guys, something's not right. Something throughout history. It's not right. We need to fix it. And I need your help to do it. That was Nate.
Yeah, but he's in a lot more danger this time, which they didn't touch on, which I was surprised. He's getting involved in fist fights and things like that. This is a Nate who is not Steel, Commander Steel. He's got hemophilia still. All it takes is a decent cut and he could potentially bleed out. They never even touched on that this time around, which kind of surprised me.
Wow, nice pull, Chris. I forgot all about that. Well, maybe the Doomworld fixed that.
I mean, maybe that was more of what it was he literally just stripped his powers and left him as he was in regard without any extra changes. I don't know, but that could have been a very interesting twist if all of a sudden he gets his arm cut or something and he's like, why won't this stop? Oh, crap. And they have a separate thing they have to consider.
Yeah, it is interesting that he's the one that feels the scars that, you know, history was ripped and then he senses them. I thought that was really interesting that it was him, and it did a nice tie back to the beginning of the season. And he pays rent while living in his mom's basement.
So technically, the basement is his, yeah. Mm-hmm. And mom makes the perfect sandwich to get the right condiment to meat to sandwich ratio. Ugh.
And she's really not going to like it that they broke that chair.
I know. I need to meet Nate's mom. Maybe she'll cook us lunch sometime. You never know.
Ooh, a sandwich. Turkey sandwich with a little bit of Swiss and honey mustard.
Somebody's hungry for dinner. So let's heat things up a little bit and let's talk about Firestorm. The interaction between Jax and Stein, that was horrifying and just funny to watch all at the same time. Right, Chris?
It really was. And for two guys whose relationships started off kind of butting heads so much and they've come to be really close and to be good friends over two seasons of Legends Tomorrow, it's really interesting to see them so at each other and Jefferson pretty much making Martin's life hell. And it feels so weird to see. And you feel a little bad for Martin Stein, how much Jefferson's like, you'll go home when I say you can go home. You can't go see your daughter, who evidently has an aberration still exists in Doomworld, which was interesting to me.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What's interesting is that Mick is the one that kept the team alive. He convinced the others to keep them around. And by doing so, Dark and Thawne was like, okay, so we'll let them stay, but we get to make them into the toys we want. And I guess the way that Mick sees them would be kind of influencing the way that I guess their relationship would be. And so Mick would know about Lily because he's the one that, you know, spilled the beans that, you know, she actually existed and confirmed to Lily like what she was and stuff. So I guess that's probably why she's still in this Doomworld. That's my guess.
Yeah, I guess it's more we don't really understand how well the MacGuffin of the Spear of Destiny works. Because for all we know, it was Damian Dark said, I want to take Martin Stein, remove his powers, his memories, and make him work here. And didn't make any other tweaks. And since he didn't say anything about a family or anything like that, it leaves that in the status quo. So I guess it also could be a matter of how specific do you have to be when using the spear to make changes?
Yeah, and I guess that would have meant that they would have had to have been on the Wave Rider at some point in time because he would have had to cross paths with himself to change his destiny.
My head hurts now.
I know.
Time travel is so much fun, but so painful at times.
But it's interesting that the two of them got into such an adversarial relationship because they're basically in each other's heads. They can feel each other's emotions. If you don't understand that connection, that could be used to really screw around with each other.
They can't anymore, though.
You don't know that.
Their powers are removed.
Their powers, but what about their connection?
They didn't seem to indicate at all that they could still feel each other's feelings or anything like that, because you would think that Jefferson would have brought something up to that effect.
Okay. I think we've had enough discussion of our heroes for the night. Let's talk about the Legion of Doom. We've got Eobard Thawne, who's really pulling the strings on it. This is his baby. Eobard Thawne is the reason why we're at where we're at. It's basically the premise of the whole season. And he's got his brave new world. He's got his Legion of Doom lackeys that he's allowing to stay for whatever reason. And he's got the world he wants because he destroys the spear. But he also, by the way, has the Wraith Speedster, I forget what we want to call him, in some sort of lock cage in his office. And oh, by the way, what's the smartest guy in the world doing with an office in the heart of the building? It should be up on an executive level.
Oh, well, there's a reason for that. I mean, he's in Star Labs because Star Labs, and he even talked about it with Ray when they were on the moon, he enjoyed it there. He enjoyed floating ideas back and forth with Sisko. So this is an Eobard Thawne who spent years developing Star Labs. There's probably a small part of him that's nostalgic for it, and more practically, because we like to save money, it's a lot easier to reuse the Flash's set than it is to build a new set for a one-off usage.
Mm-hmm. So hashtag because budget.
Because budget. Now, the thing that really surprised me is if you've got the Spear of Destiny, you can reshape reality as we know it. Why do you leave the Black Flash intact? Why do you leave that chance that potentially it can get out and come and destroy you? I mean, I understand Eobard wanting to basically break him and the sadistic pleasure he might get of like, ha ha ha, you were trying to chase me and now you're trapped and I'm going to watch you break, but you can remap reality.
I think that is a limitation of the spear, because I call them the Black Flash because he was a Flash and now his outfit's black. Because the Black Flash was part of the Speed Force, and it's part of the Speed Force that's trying to catch up with Thawne in order to erase him from existence, because technically he's not supposed to be around because Eddie killed himself in Flash Season 1. So I'm thinking that the spear has that particular limit to where it can't, you know, it's like maybe if he would have tried to rewrite what the Speed Force is and can do, he could have broken the universe. So instead of possibly breaking the universe, he realizes that he can at least contain the Black Flash in something that he knows will not break.
See, I always assumed that Eobard was going to rewrite things so that he was never removed from the universe, meaning, i.e., Eddie never died. So maybe he didn't take that path to save himself, and that's why the Black Flash is still after him. I don't know. I think we're probably reading into it way too much from what they did. They could have just said, hey, this is going to be a cool moment to have Eobard have the Black Flash locked up, have a nice little callback to be like, hey, remember this? And then maybe have it be like, this is a little seed we've planted for the season finale, is that the Black Flash might come back into play. Because I don't know if he does, guys. I'm watching them as we do the episodes. So for all I know, he shows up next week and I'll be like, damn, that's pretty cool. But until then, who knows?
Mm. So Michelle, who is your favorite Legion of Doom member?
So Snart really wasn't. He's like the last addition. So he's not really a member because he has his own agenda. But, you know, it has to be Damian Dark. He was just so snarky and bad guy monologue-y, just scrumptious in his evilness. And, you know, he gave himself back his magic. He is like, you know, yeah, this is nice, but we want more. I don't like the fact that I owe all of this to a speedster. So I think we need to do something about it. And let's do that.
Mm. Neil McDonough had an awesome performance this episode. Snart was very interesting. Matter of fact, I loved the homage to Prison Break when they were talking about, hey, maybe we could get thrown in Iron Heights and plan a break or a jailbreak like we used to. I was like, oh, it's a callback. Yeah, that's so cool.
That was great.
Yeah. And Malcolm with the whole, the Thea who adores him. Nyssa is in a closeted life in Ohio. And when that was said, I just had to chuckle because I was picturing Nyssa as a soccer mom somewhere in Ohio for some stupid reason. That was cool. And because of her performances, by the way, on the Hallmark Channel, I could definitely see that. That would be an awesome role for her to play in real life. But she's an awesome actor, too. So, woohoo. Yeah, you know, Damian, I think he wins this performance out of the three of them. But Snart and Malcolm, yeah, this was probably one of the better Legion of Doom episodes because they were in power. They were in control. They got to show their stuff.
And I don't think they gave Malcolm as much to do this episode. They more featured, it was Eobard and Damien, and they were the ones that got the focus. And Malcolm's kind of there, he complains, you find out a little bit how Malcolm's world has changed, but he's not taking center stage, and that's not necessarily bad, but it's tough to feature all three of those guys because they're very good.
He's probably busy offset going to clap. I mean, he can clap again. I mean, that's pretty cool.
I mean, he could clap before, it just sounded weird.
Yeah, and they had Wentworth Miller. Whenever you have Wentworth Miller, you know, put him in the episode as much as possible. And he's like, I got a plan to basically get rid of everybody because he doesn't want to even be around Dark or Malcolm and such. And he's still like, I'm the alpha in this partnership, Mick, and everything's like, don't worry, we're playing along now. I got a plan. And Mick's like, what's the plan? You don't need to know about it. He actually puts a GPS tracker in Mick. Like, whoa.
Yeah, I figured he'd just put it in the gun. But when he said on Mick or in Mick, I was like, damn, that's cold. And then I went, oh, that's a pun. And I didn't mean it when I said that to myself.
A little head sarcasm there. All right.
It's bad when I self-censor, guys.
Yeah. So we do have to talk about one more of the legends, and I waited for the end intentionally on this. We have to talk about Amaya because she was believing in Mick till the end, and she got just destroyed, not from Mick, but from Wentworth Miller and Captain Cold. Oh, that was so heart-wrenching watching what happened.
Oh, and the look on Mick's face when it's his partner that kills the woman that's believing in him. I mean, literally, one of the few people out of the Legends looks at him. She's basically like, I believe in you. And just to see her slowly get iced up and then destroyed by Captain Cold, you're just like, oh, my chest. My heart hurts right now.
Especially at the moment where she's chanting, she's holding the spear. She knows she's going to make everything right. And it just doesn't turn out that way.
The cynic in me didn't expect her to be able to pull it off because we had one episode, but I also was not expecting her to get destroyed in a shower of ice. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, I like that they reminded us that Captain Cold is a killer. You know, that's his true origin. That's who he was before The Flash and Legends, season one and all that.
Well, guys, this was a pretty good episode. I've forgotten how good at least I thought it was good. It was pretty good. And the toy Wave Rider, that was pretty cool, too. Watching that on the desk at the very end, you finally figure out that it's just a small model, but an active model because it had like the LED lights like a Christmas ornament did. So lots of stuff to close up next episode. Chris, did you like the episode?
I loved it. It's all coming together quite nicely for the finale. I have no idea what they're going to do, but I can't wait to see it. And remember, I have no idea what's going to happen. I haven't watched it yet, so I'm geeking out.
Yeah, you're catching up on the summer on all your shows, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so you keep that going, buddy.
I'm still a season behind.
Yeah. Michelle, what did you think?
A great episode. Really bringing everything together. Dominic Purcell still rocking it as Mick. Really, considering how inconsistent the writers were with him, you know, still finding, like, you could tell by his choices that it's like, I know the arc Mick should be going on, and I'm going to make sure that even if the script's not, I'm going to make sure that the arc is there as much as I can.
All right. I'm excited to see the season finale next week. It's going to be a great podcast. We're going to talk about the episode Aruba. Michelle, why don't you tell everybody about Aruba?
Yes. Season 2, episode 17 of Legends Tomorrow is called Aruba. It originally aired Tuesday, April 4th, 2017. When a massive time crake rocks the ship while the Legends are preparing for their next destination, they must break a cardinal rule of time travel. Director Rob Scheidenglass. Writers Phil Klemmer and Mark Guggenheim.
Big guns.
G-Man himself. It's going to be a fun time, Chris, for you since you haven't seen it.
Can we make that his official nickname now, the G-Man? Can we just make that happen, guys?
Mark G-Man. I'm all for that. We'll call him that from now on. I'll put it in the hashtag for the episode. How about that?
Yes!
All right. Let's get on into the newsroom. From the main news desk of the Starling Tribune, we have some great news coming at you. First of all, we're going to start with Arrow News because we are an Arrow podcast above all else. Chris, we have news on when Deathstroke is returning.
That's right. You guys had to know that I'm going to be the one that does this news story. Anytime there's a mention of Deathstroke or Manu Bennett, there's a little part of me that geeks out because I think Manu Bennett is fantastic in the role. He is almost up there as Ron Perlman, as Slade Wilson in the Teen Titans cartoon for me. He's become that good in the role. So executive producer Mark Guggenheim did tweet out a picture of the cover sheet for the fifth episode of season six of Arrow, which directly calls out the return of Deathstroke in perhaps the most obvious way possible. Producer jokingly mentioned that he tweeted the title, Deathstroke Returns, with actor Manu Bennett tagged. So the title is called Deathstroke Returns. It's a pretty solid indicator that episode 5, he's coming back for the episode, and I cannot wait. According to the cover sheet, Deathstroke Returns will be directed by Joe Novoa, who previously directed the episode Dangerous Liaisons in season 5, Ben Sokolowski, and Spiro, I'm going to screw up his name, Skentos from Grimm will write the episode. So guys, episode 5, we get more Deathstroke other than what we'll probably get in the premiere because we've seen screen episodes.
So that is awesome. But this next news story is even awesomer to me personally. And for most people, it should be probably is equally as awesome as when Manu Bennett comes back. Michelle, we have a casting announcement for Arrow.
It's interesting how much casting news we're getting. It's like the producers are like, please come back and watch us. Please come back and watch us. So the casting news is that Kirk Acevedo has been cast as the Green Arrow villain from the comic known as Richard Dragon. So this role is a season-long recurring arc. He's going to be Ricardo Diaz, which is based on the Richard Dragon character. In the comics, Ricardo is one of the identities Richard Dragon takes on. A hardened ex-con recently released from prison for crimes he didn't commit, Ricardo Diaz is bent on taking over Star City's criminal underworld. A master in hand-to-hand combat honed by years of life on the street, Diaz has yet to meet a foe he can't take down. And I'm really excited that it's Kirk Acevedo. I remember him from Fringe.
If you are not familiar with Kirk, look at his IMDb. The quality of series is just astounding. First of all, it goes back to 1996. Second of all, it astounds a total 52 credits since then, which is amazing for an actor. And it's not just bit roles. He was in Band of Brothers. He was in Fringe as a main character. He was in Prime Suspect. He's been in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's a main character in 12 Monkeys. This guy is bringing some hard-earned cred. Like, there aren't any other actors with hard-earned cred on the series. Kirk is going to be amazing this season of Arrow, and I am really looking forward to seeing him on the screen in whatever role he takes because he does both sides so well. He plays the villain so deliciously, but the good guy, he's so heartfelt. This guy has acting chops galore, and I just can't wait to see the great things come for Kirk in this season.
So SP had mentioned the IMDb. I had not looked at his IMDb until right now when SP mentioned. I started looking through there. You named a lot of shows. I was like, I didn't know he was in that. And then I scrolled down even further. I was like, the Black Donnellys? He was on that show? I loved that show. He was even on 24 back in 2006. He's been all over. I'm excited. He did Oz on HBO.
And he's great to watch on screen. Now, some might think his acting style is just plain and it's at one level, but he just makes a little switch between being the villain and being the good guy. And it's just amazing. It's just little tweaks, but he's so well at doing it. It's just amazing watching him on screen. So this was a good catch for Arrow, and I can't wait for his portrayal of Richard Dragon. So moving on to other casting news, we have somebody that we actually know from Arrow that is going to be returning.
That's right. Joe Dinical will return to Arrow in his role as Rory Reagan, the Ragman, for at least one episode in the show's sixth season, according to Mark Guggenheim. It seems he'll return in the fifth episode, Deathstroke Returns. So we get Ragman, we get Deathstroke. Woohoo, this is going to be fun. The real question is, guys, does Ragman have his powers back or not?
Oh, that's right, because they were just rags before, right? When he left.
The magic was gone.
Mm. But it was gone for a reason, because he shielded everybody from a huge blast.
That's true.
So, yeah, it wasn't for nothing. he sacrificed the regs for the betterment of the team. So I'm really excited to have him back. He's full on Team Arrow, and it's good to have him back on the show. So moving into general DC news, we have one news story of note for Legends of Tomorrow. And oh my gosh, I can't believe they scored this actor.
Yes, Legends of Tomorrow has tapped Susie Abromeit, whose TV credits include Marvel's Jessica Jones. She was Hogarth's girlfriend, Pam, Chicago Med, and Devious Maids, to guest star during season 3 as Ray's mother. This is as reported by TV Line. As shared during Comic-Con last month, episode 4 of the coming season will head to the 1980s to investigate Ray's childhood, where Abromeit will appear.
That's going to be awesome. I did like her portrayal of Pam on Jessica Jones, and she took poor old J Money, as she's now known as, to the cleaners, and it was interesting to watch the whole thing. All right, we are actually part of a network, and if you want to hear more about Jessica Jones, go check out Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. But we don't just have comic book podcasts on the network, right, Chris?
That's right. We have a variety of different shows in the network, some that focus on specific television programs, specific geek subcultures, but some of which that focus on a variety of topics in the world of geekdom. And this week, I want to point you guys towards our friends, one of the newer members of the network, the Digital Soup podcast. Now, if you're not familiar with Digital Soup, every Tuesday, you'll find Digital Soup at the intersection of tech, gaming, entertainment, and comedy. Join three longtime friends, Jason, Adam, and usually Dave, as they discuss everything from CPUs to celebrities, and maybe even the occasional quiz show. So guys, check out our friends at the Digital Soup podcast over at GonnaGeekNetwork.com or GonnaGeek.com. You can go to either. Either will take you there. It's a great show. They're welcome additions to the network. So seriously, check it out. It's great.
And you can ask them questions about anything, and they, even the stuff that you throw at them, you're like, hey, they'll never know this. They actually find experts, they go interview them, and they talk really in depth about the topic. So these guys are amazing. Go check them out. I heartily recommend them.
Yeah, I have enjoyed the fact that they cover a whole bunch of things, but photography, something that I have dabbled in and I have no perceivable talent at, they've got some guys with some photography chops that start talking about the theory behind it, and here's the kind of cameras you might want, and I'm like, huh, that's really cool. I just wish I was good at this.
Yeah, well, you don't have to be. You can just ask them and they'll tell you how to be good.
Can they come and take pictures of the eclipse for me? Because I am not equipped to do it.
Depends on how much money you have.
I have no money right now.
Then no.
I buy too many geeky things, guys. I like geeky things. But you know what else I like? I also like all of our listeners who participate in the chat room over at Geeks.live. Thank you for everyone that did join us today. I saw we had folks on the YouTube side, folks on the Twitch side, even some folks on the Mixer side. So seriously, we really do appreciate you guys watching. And don't forget, you can download the replays on YouTube, on our website, Spreaker, all of those places. Go check out the back catalog there as well.
Indeed. And remember, you can always catch us live as we record at www.geeks.live. I say that www because a lot of people don't know that .live is actually a internet extension domain that you can use. So geeks.live at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Sundays as we ramp up for the new Flareoverse year. We've been talking about all the news stories this episode, and it's coming and it's coming soon. But most importantly, because we are an Arrow podcast, the sixth season of the CW's Arrow.
You can find all of our contact information on the Gonna Geek Network at GonnaGeekNetwork.com, where you can check out our forums and other shows. If you want to share your thoughts, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Well, that's a great episode, guys, and it wraps us up for another week. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag Captain Confectioner.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag G-Man.
And I am at Michelle Ely, signing off with hashtag Mom's Yummy Sandwiches. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.